Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon tonight on baptism comes from Romans chapter 6. Paul writes, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." So far, our reading. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In talking about baptism and in reading through our reading from Romans tonight, there are a couple of different metaphors that we use, and Paul uses both of them in his reading. They're different, but connected. There is, of course, the metaphor of slavery, which really predominates in the reading. We are slaves to sin who must be set free from sin. But then, parallel to it, or connected to it, there is also the metaphor of death. Baptism is a death of sorts and a rebirth in which we join Christ in his own death and rebirth through resurrection. Both of these are important to our understanding of baptism, and Paul makes use of both in our reading for tonight. But in both cases, we need to understand that baptism primarily sets us free. Baptism is a washing with water that takes place normally at a font, such as ours, but baptism is so much more than simply a washing with water. And that's something that kind of gets glossed over in our Lutheran understanding of the sacraments, is that we do believe in that both baptism and the Lord's Supper symbolize something. But they do a lot more than that. Baptism is a washing with water, but there is much more to it than the simple washing with water. It is a washing away of sin and a setting free from sin. Baptism grants us forgiveness of sins through the washing away of our sins. In Mark 16, Jesus says, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." So baptism and belief save us. Or again, in Acts 2:38, Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Baptism saves us. Baptism washes away our sins. And through baptism, we are completely set free from the guilt associated with sin. The eternal consequences of sin, eternity without God, and condemnation are no more. You have no fear of God's condemnation because you have been baptized. The consequences of our sin have been charged to Jesus' account. He paid for them all with his death on the cross. You have nothing to worry about because of your sins. But when we get off completely scot-free, there is always that serious allure to abuse that privilege. After all, how many of you, as soon as you pay off your last credit card, feel an urge to go out and get another one? Rack up a serious debt on that one because I'm free. If you were ever given a get-out-of-jail-free card, how long do you think it would take for you to rack up some really juicy stuff to use it on? It is so easy when you are given a clean slate to go out and mess it up again just so you can clean it off again. It is tempting for us to think of baptism as offering us carte blanche, a blank check to sin as much as we want without any consequences. After all, if I've been forgiven for everything I've done and I've received God's grace, why not sin more so I can get more grace? Or, as Paul is accused of in Romans chapter 3, why not do evil that good may come? However, that kind of thinking is misguided. We have not been set free from sinning so that we are now free to sin. We have died to sin, Paul says in Romans chapter 6. You have died to sin, meaning that we are no longer under the power of sin. And so then, just one verse after our reading in verse 12, Paul writes, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions." You were not set free from sin so that you can sin. Rather, you are now freed to serve God. Through baptism, our sinful nature has been put to death, Paul says. It is no more. Now, the sinful nature does still come back every day to trouble us, but we have been set free from its power. So instead of that sinful nature, what emerges from the font every day through baptism is a new creation, a new man created by God's word tied into the water. And this new man has been chosen by God and has been claimed by God. This new man is a child of God and has been created new in Christ Jesus, not for sin, but for service. This new man now lives to serve God. To do God's will is the new man's desire, to obey God's commandments and to love him and to worship him and to praise him continually, to serve God by performing good works to serve our neighbors both physically and spiritually. That is what baptism has freed us to do. There's a story out of the abolitionist era just before the Civil War of a man who attended a slave auction. He wasn't known to the auctioneers, but he appeared to have an interest in a particular slave woman. When the woman was up for sale, this man immediately jumped into the bidding. Whenever someone else would raise the bid, he would outbid them. Higher and higher the price went, but eventually this man won the auction. This particular slave was now his. "What are you going to do with the slave?" some of those standing by asked. They figured the answer was probably going to be, "Put her to work in the fields," or "Make her a maid in my manor." But that's not what the man said. "I'm going to set her free," he told them. He had paid an exorbitant price for this slave, but he was not going to take it out of her in labor as a slave. Instead, he paid that price to save her from her enslavement. The story doesn't record what became of this newly freed slave, but I can guess. I doubt that after a couple days of freedom, this woman turned and said, "You know, I really want to be a slave again." No. Once she had her freedom, there was no going back to slavery. But I wonder if she didn't ask the kind man who had bought her to set her free what she could do for him because he gave her this wonderful gift of giving her back her life. And I wonder if he didn't allow her to join him in his abolitionist work of fighting against slavery and also of purchasing back those who had been made into slaves. It should be obvious the role that you play in this story if we apply it to ourselves. You are, of course, the freed slave. Not freed from the lash of a human master, but from the scourge of sin. You have not been set free from years of toil in a cotton field, but from an eternity in hell. And you were not purchased with gold or silver, but with the holy precious blood and with the innocent suffering and death of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that you have been saved from this fate, you are given the task of joining in your Savior's cause by telling others that there is freedom from sin and death. You join your Savior's cause by serving him and by worshiping him and by giving thanks to him for the redemption that he gives you. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, which is yours in your baptism, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in his holy word unto life everlasting. Amen.